Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Hubler and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
63-60. Louie, another free throw. Pounds in the floor. Shoot. And hits it. 64-60. 3 seconds to go. The Lions will bring it the link. They get the ball into Toy. Toy shot. The horn. No good. The Cats win it. 64-60. Here at the Hatchet House as pandemonium ensues. Bat on the floor as the fans scream onto the hardwood.
Hello, this is Joe Milligan, and welcome to this week's Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, and I'm joined by the coach every week, Coach K, Ken Schultheis. Coach, pandemonium on the floor, and you were on the floor with your arms raised celebrating. You know, you've done it as a coach. You've done it as a player. Does it ever get old?
Joe, it never gets old, and that's what makes sectional week, pre-sectional week, so exciting. And the state tournament in Indiana is like no other around the country. There is absolutely no other place that puts on a basketball tournament with the history, the pageantry, the excitement, the great highs, and believe me as a coach, the low, low, lows that you get as coach, fan, player, parent. Oh, man, it's tough to be a parent. Girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever it may be, as the IHSA basketball sectional in the state of Indiana. And, Joe, the thing about it is that it's not the playoffs. I get tired of transplants into Indiana, sports announcers, people like that, calling it the high school basketball playoffs. It is not the playoffs in Indiana basketball. It is the state high school basketball tournament, and it is well run. We have had dips in the number of teams with consolidations. We have team numbers increasing now, Joe, because of new schools that are popping up. Attendance has gone down, some of that due to class basketball, other things, but there are certain sites around the state of Indiana that pack those gymnasiums for that sectional week, whether they start on Tuesday, Wednesday, or their weekend tournament. And Joe, we're going to talk. We've got four or five guests on the show today. We're going to be talking IHSA basketball sites, mainly Indianapolis and South, sectional 61, 63, sectionals 57, 48, 47, 46, 32, 31, sectional 30, sectional 16, and several out of the Indianapolis area. It's going to be a great show because these sectional sites not only have competitive teams, and I mean a number of competitive teams, they will draw. You are one of the bygone era fans listening to the show, and kind of like I am. I mean, I loved back in the 70s, 80s, 90s when sectional sites were still traditional, connected to the communities and the counties, and they packed it in for bragging rights. Joe, these sectional sites, they're going to be packed.
Yeah, I'm excited this year. We get to go back to the Southridge sectional site. That's always a great place with a lot of fond memories. But I'll tell you, you know, one of the sectionals that's kind of not been touched by the class basketball has been that Ligoti sectional. You know, other than Washington, they've pretty well kept that intact. And, you know, I know they jam-pack that place every year, and it's always exciting. And, you know, you'll have a special interest in that this year. You know, Coach Josh Schultheis will be on the bench for the Barre Vikings, and so you have an added – you get to also live a sectional as a parent of one of the coaches of a sectional.
Yeah, we're excited for Josh in the Schultheis house, a third-generation coach on the high school level in the state of Indiana. He is an assistant coach on the staff at Barre Eve under Coach Hughes, who does a great job, and we're excited for him to actually experience the sectional of that type with that kind of a fan base and enthusiasm, excitement. That sectional takes place at North Davies, I believe, this year, sectional 63. And Mike DeCourcy with the general out of Washington, who is the play-by-play man for the Barrie Vikings, he will join us to talk about that sectional later in the show. We've got a bunch of guests coming on. Let me go through quick coming on, Joe. In the first hour, Chris Goodman will join us to talk about the 4A sectional at North High School. And that's sectional 16. We'll also talk a little bit about the 3A sectional over at Princeton, which will be a really good sectional with Princeton, Bossy, and Memorial in it. He'll be on to talk with us in the first hour. And of course, I mentioned Mike DeCourcy will be coming on. Andy Igel will join us in the first hour. Of course, if you remember Coach Igel at Eastern Green, what a tremendous job he did. Before that, he was at Frontier, Vincent Gervais. He is a former assistant of mine. He was my first assistant coach at Washington Catholic. We've had a great bond from that time forward. His daughter is my godchild. And I'm excited to have Coach Igel on because Coach Igel, still at Eastern Green, not coaching right now. It's his second year out of coaching, and I know he's all excited because sectional time gets you that way. He'll come on, and he'll talk with us about sectional 57 in the 1A, and then he'll also talk to us about sectional 47, 2A. They've got some outstanding teams in both those sectionals that will have some connection in this local area, and he's no stranger to sectional championships, great seasons. As competitive as you can be. He'll be on in that first hour. And then the second hour, Don Schulteis will join us. We'll talk about some of the great sectionals in Indianapolis, Cathedral and Indianapolis Tech, Carmel sectional, Cecina and Park Tudor. Don will be on to talk about those. And then, of course, ever popular Kurt Gooksell, the Gook, will be on to talk about the Southridge sectional in 3A. And we're excited about that one, Joe, sectional 31, because I can smell the popcorn right now.
Popcorn, and, you know, they need to get some of those old-time Coke fountains that they used to wheel out. Used to go down to the floor and get a little cup of Coke, and, you know, it's going to be exciting to be back there. That's why I told Reese that, you know, his school's AAU program is supposed to play that weekend, and I've been adamant about that we should not play just because I think they need to be there to see the sectional. This is, you know, these kids, they're seventh grade. We've only played one game in a Southridge sectional that they might remember, you know, and it's just a great atmosphere. Nothing wrong with the Hatchet House, but if you're from Du Bois County and you lived through that Southridge sectional for years and years and years, there's something special about being in that building.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, 1981, Joe, we were seniors. That was a long time ago, but I have not forgotten what it was like as a player on that team, playing in that Southridge sectional, going through some battles, especially against Northeast Du Bois and then Southridge in the championship game and cutting down those nets. The Washington sectional is awesome. Cut down the nets as the head coach at Washington Catholic. Over a ranked Ligoti team. We were an upstart young team of sophomores and juniors, and we would come, I, of course, that sophomore group, I didn't get a chance to be a part of it because I went on to take the job at Jasper High School, but they would go on and win another sectional and a regional. And then, of course, two sectional championships back-to-back at Jasper. The first time Jasper had won back-to-back sectional championships in, like, 20 years. And so it was pretty exciting to go through that. So this is a great time of year for me. And before we get into the sectionals that will be coming up in about 10 minutes, really, we'll be starting to talk about them. Joe, we got to talk about some of the other things going on. I know one thing that you're doing on this show. Our theme show is music-wise is Hoosiers, correct?
Yes. It is Hoosiers. Felt like it was appropriate for today.
So we hope that Joe has some good snippets of from the movie Hoosiers. Of course, one of the great all-time classic sports movies ever made. And, folks, it wasn't made out east about New York high school basketball. It wasn't made about California basketball. And for those of you listening from those states, don't get upset with the coach here. It was made about Indiana high school basketball. And some of those gymnasiums I've actually been in, actually played in, coached in, and it was a great movie, and it was as realistic about the time period. But I really thought the coaching part was extremely realistic in the way he started practice, the way he talked to his players. Of course, some of it got a little bit contrived, but that's Hollywood. The way they ran a practice, the way they set up timeouts, it was pretty interesting and a great movie for any fan of any age to watch. And I encourage you parents to get your young kids, especially if they're aspiring basketball players, to watch that. Joe, let's talk a little bit about some girls basketball going on. Of course, they're at the semi-state level now in the Indiana High School Basketball Tournament for the girls. And we have in the southern part of the state, for those of you listening outside of the state of Indiana, and we have a number of them listening via the Internet all over the world, because the Internet does that. Our show takes place out of the southern part of the state. We have a studio in Evansville, Indiana, southern part of the state, as well as Jasper, Indiana, where Joe is located. And we've got a couple of really good teams down here. Of course, Joe, I'm talking about the modern-day Lady Wildcats, who, because of the success rule, and I know we have IHSA people that listen to the show once in a while, because of the success rule, they had won the state championship in the 2A a couple of times. They had to move up because of the new success rule, and they are in 3A, and they are still in a position to move forward. I'll tell you, Laura Munsterman is one outstanding basketball player. She'll be going to Indiana University, and Tori Schickel, a teammate of hers, they have a chance to three-peat. That's amazing. They have a chance to three-peat. And then Vincennes Reveille, up the road from Evansville and down and over west of Jasper, it is in the southwest part of the state, they have a chance to defend their semi-state title. I believe they've won 5 out of 6 semi-states or something close to that. 5 out of 6 semi-states. They did win a state championship in 2011, but it is phenomenal what Coach Tim Young has done with little bitty Vincennes Reveille, a small Catholic school in Vincennes, Indiana. And, folks, it's not like Indianapolis or Gary or that area up there. They don't recruit. They get the kids to come through the Catholic system. And Tim Young has just done a great job with that school, and it's phenomenal. He's hard-nosed. He's got a great background in basketball, playing and coaching. He moved into the girls' sector from the boys' side, and he has just done a phenomenal job. So good luck to Reveille and obviously Modern Day as they try to three-peat. Joe, can you imagine that? Your daughter, your son, or just your community going for a three-peat for a state championship? I know it's class basketball, but still, a three-peat's pretty special.
I'll tell you what, Musterman, I was at EVA once and saw her shooting free throws, and she just was, it was just automatic. And my first thought was Purdue needs to just hire her as the free throw shooting coach for the men's team, because she just got it in rhythm and it looks great. But I'll tell you what, one thing I'd tell you, you know, with the success factor and the success Vincennes Reveille has had, I think you might have Lagodi, Varive, North Davies, and Washington Catholic and Shoals cheering for Vincennes Reveille, because if I'm not mistaken, if they do well in this tournament, they're going to 2A next year.
I believe, I'm not 100% sure on the success rule, but if anyone listening can let us know if they win this, go to another state finals or win the state championship, do they automatically move up to 2A? I'm sure. I can promise you, people in Varive had a really good team this year and couldn't get past them. And I know that Lagodi's trying to build their girls' team back up. So, yeah, it would be nice to get Reve out of that group because Reve is a really good basketball team, and Tim Young does a great job. Speaking of college hoops, which you segued into, Joe, so I got to give you the credit because you segued into it. Purdue played about as well as Purdue could play for the majority of that basketball game against Michigan, only to let it slip away in OT and pick up another loss, a tough loss. And Iowa on a makeup game and squanders a big lead early, gets down, comes back, squanders a little bit more, gets it back, and then ends up with a win over Iowa. A lot of Hoosier fans were excited, and I'm excited for them too, but I'm going to be honest with you right now. Go back and listen to the shows at the beginning of the year. We knew Iowa was going to be a good team, but Iowa is Iowa. Fran McCaffrey has not been able to get that team over the hump of playing good pressure, and when I mean pressure, mentally tough basketball all year. They have gotten one or two bigger wins than they usually get, folks. But for the most part, Iowa has not answered the bell when they need to. I think they've been very, very fortunate to be in the top 20 most of the year, and I think it's because they're in the Big Ten, and everybody keeps hoping that this Iowa team, which looks pretty talented, will get over the hump. But they didn't, and they didn't on the road at IU. It was a nice win for the Hoosiers and a tough loss for the Boilers. Joe, your thoughts on Boiler basketball?
Well, I was, it's been a tough year for, seniors Tyrone Johnson and IU-wise, Will Sheehy. It was nice to see both those two perform the way they did. You know, it's the end of their career. You'd like to see them both go out on a high, and they both had really good games. You know, Purdue, I did say, about hiring Musterman as the free throw coach, but I think they were 18 for 19 or something like that. Missed a crucial 1-1 at the end of that would have put them. It would have put them up, two or three instead of just double, and that kind of hurt. But they played hard. It's been disappointing. It's been disappointing for both fan bases. But IU, if they keep playing the way they did, they've got Ohio State and is it Northwestern at home before they go to Michigan. So, they could end the season on a high note. IU could. Purdue, we're just hoping to make it through and hoping that Matt Painter does the right thing, and when that CBI bid comes out, he laughs and says, no, thank you.
I would hope that Purdue and any team in the Big Ten really is past paying to play in a tournament. I just don't like that. I understand the tournaments and people starting them and some of the coaches and some of the programs saying, this is a time for our kids to feel like they get an opportunity to play postseason ball, and it can help recruiting for some schools, but I really don't see the advantage. I know we talked about it last week on the show for the Big Ten teams, but you never know. Folks, there's a lot of other stuff going on in the sports world. Obviously, baseball is heating up on the professional level. The NCAA tournament is right around the corner. UCLA lost a tough one last night to Oregon. If you were able to watch that as a late game, lost it overtime, two overtimes I believe it was. Of course, Steve Alford, former IU great, Indiana high school basketball great, and his son, Bryce, who's an outstanding player. The other thing going on is this number one ranking for Florida and not Wichita State. Yes, Coach K is not happy about that. The arrogant pollsters, and I'm going to throw Doug Gottlieb in there. Doug Gottlieb and I traded some Twitters this week. I don't get it, folks. Here's a team that went to the Final Four last year, returns most of its players. Conference, whether you think the conference is strong this year or not, is considered a very good conference. It's right below what we would call a big-time conference, and they always compete well in the NCAA tournament. They have an outstanding coach. They are undefeated. 30 straight wins in conference and out of conference. And the arrogant pollsters will not give them the opportunity that they have earned to be the number one team in the country. And I know what some of you people are saying. Come on, Coach K. They don't play the schedule Florida plays. They don't play the Arizona schedule. Come on, folks. Don't give me that. How many number one teams go on to win it all anyway? But I'm talking about they've earned the right to be number one, to sit up there on that pedestal. They're 30-0. They're undefeated. They've answered the bell every time. Florida didn't. And if you're talking about conferences, what conference? The SEC? Heck, Kentucky, they can't hold it together. Florida barely wins at a bad Vandy team the other night. They barely won against a bad Mississippi team the other night. Don't give me that. Come on, arrogant pollsters. Make this playing field about what you've earned, not about your past. 30-0, a team coming back from the Final Four. They've answered the bell. You put them high up in the rankings all year. Why not put them up number one? Joe went after our next guest, Chris Goodman, and we're going to go to break here in just a second. When we come back, we're going to be talking 4A sectional at North, and that's going to be sectional 16, and we'll talk a little 3A sectional on the Coach K and Joe show when we come back after the first break, which we'll go to in just a minute. But folks, I'm serious. If you don't agree with me on Wichita State, I'll listen to you. I'll take your comment. But I tell you what, I just don't get it. I just don't get it. How Wichita State, the arrogant pollsters, you got to be from the big conferences, what they call the big, in order to be number one. But I think they've earned it. I think they've earned the right to be number one. We also had a nice game last night. The Evansville Aces women's program, University of Evansville, played Wichita State, who was tops in the conference. And they got that victory last night. It's a big victory for them. It's nice home crowd win. And it was on TV, so that's good for recruiting. Absolutely good for recruiting. All right, folks, we're going to get ready to go to break here. I want to remind you, this is the perfect time of year. Folks, you got money that you need to invest. The market is moving. This is an opportunity to put yourself in a position to perpetuate that money and grow that money. You got to call Janet Schulteis at Edward Jones, 812-479-8215. You'll probably talk to her capable assistant, Beth, and she'll connect you with Janet. They're going to look at your risk tolerance, put a portfolio together for you that's going to keep you winning as you go through the market over the next decade or whatever it is until you get to retirement, or set that 529 up for your kid so they can go to college and it doesn't have to bleed you every month when you make that payment. Believe me, we know what that's all about. IRAs that need to be rolled over. If you've still got your IRA at an old job, you're doing a disservice to yourself. Your retirement, an old job, you need to roll that over into a single IRA that you can control, that you can invest, and Janet Schulteis and Edward Jones can do that for you. So give her a call, 479-8215. She can work. She has clients all over the country, and she has no problem working with you. We're going to go to our first break. When we come back, we're talking 4A sectional and some 3A sectional with Chris Goodman. You're listening to Coach K on the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Toyota in Jasper. You know what happens when you sell a bunch of new Toyotas? You trade for hundreds of great pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and sport utilities. Many are certified, have factory warranty remaining, fully inspected, and they're all priced to sell. Hurry in for the best selection. Ubelar & Sons Toyota, where customers send their friends for a great pre-owned vehicle since 1929.
Well, you're the swing man, Jimmy. You're solo right. All right, Merle should be open swinging around the end of that fence. Now, boys, don't get caught watching a paint dry. All right, take it.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is Tyler Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and our first guest never gets caught watching the paint dry, I can promise you. If he had a basketball in his hand, it probably went up as quick as he got it, so there was no way it was going dry. Chris Goodman joins us, and we're going to talk first, Chris, about Section 4A at North. Chris, welcome to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Weather coming. I'm hoping that it doesn't. Hello?
Oh, you're there. You're there. I'm sorry. I think we had a little tech. Joe had you muted and forgot to bring you back up. So welcome to the show, Chris.
You know, it's probably a good thing sometimes that I'm muted. So, yeah, always a pleasure. Good to be here. And I was just saying, although you didn't hear me, but I was saying I hope this weather, I know we got some weather coming in, I hope it doesn't push everything back and kind of throw a monkey wrench into everything. I hope we just kind of get the play as normal and the game start on Tuesday or Monday, wherever the sectional is. And I'm just kind of excited to see some of these games and good to see all the teams in one place. It's always neat when you can go and watch a couple of games back-to-back.
Well, if this show comes on, if the weather comes in like it's predicted, especially up in the central part of the state, it could create some problems. But down here, we're going to have a blistering heat wave that's going to clear everything up, and we're going to start with Class 4A, Sectional 16 at North, Wrights and Harrison, Central versus North, Castle versus the Wrights Harrison winner. It's a five-team sectional, and it all starts on March 4th with Wrights and Harrison. Chris, take us through that group and tell us what you think.
You know, I was just looking at this, and I haven't seen every team this year. I've seen a couple of these, and I've seen several of them last year. Looking at the matchups, and it's kind of interesting because Central and North, when you look at that, Central beat North by 28 earlier this year, but then they turned around and lost by one. Well, then you look at Wrights-Harrison. Well, Wrights beat Harrison by 32, and then they turned around and lose by five. So I think it depends on the location, depends on the time of year, depends on if players are injured, if they're sick. So I think this opening set of games, at least on paper, it looks like they're about as even as they can be. I think Central North's going to be a good game. I saw Cortland Martin the other night, just an unbelievable athlete for Central, but they're certainly deeper than that. They got Deadman. They got a couple of other players that are really good. I also saw North, and they played Bossy to within 2 points, and Bossy's a pretty good ball club, even though they're in 3A. And then you got Wrights-Harrison, which I think will be a great game. Ernie Duncan going to Vermont. Wrights has Alex Stein, Jalen Sanford. They got a couple of juniors in there that I think they're going to make a lot of noise next year, but they certainly have the opportunity to do it this year as well.
You know, Chris, when I look at that sectional, and if you're a fan and you have some knowledge of the teams, you look at that Wrights-Harrison game, and even if you're not, but you follow some of the media and the polls and different things as the year went on, you probably look at that game between Wrights and Harrison and you say, well, that should be the championship game. And by all rights, pardon the pun there, by all rights, when we started the season, it probably was the championship game. But Harrison has shown chinks in its armor. It struggles with an inside game, which makes the perimeter shooting so much more important. Wrights, on the other hand, has been beaten by Harrison, has dropped a couple games that maybe you thought they wouldn't. But then the winner of that, you still got a Central team that you just talked about that has played very well throughout the season, although they did lose a game here recently to Modern Day that I'm still scratching my head over. And then Castle, who is confusing as well, one night they'll take the best team in the area and beat them, and the next time out they'll take a really an average team and struggle to win if they win.
Yeah, but if you look at Castle's overall schedule and you look at how they did in the city against these teams, they beat Wrights in the Toyota Classic. They beat Harrison in the SIAC Championship game. They certainly have knocked off the teams that they needed to as far as the local competition. And I think that can be a big factor. They beat Central 59-54 in a game at Castle. They certainly haven't blasted people. They got a great guard, Kamen Meyer, that can really score. They're 14-7. They've won five of their last six. I think Castle having that bye, a lot of times that'll help you, but sometimes it doesn't help you because, you know, you sit there and you're waiting, and the other two teams that kind of played, they got their feet wet. So there's some advantages and disadvantages. I think, you know, as a coach, that sometimes having that bye isn't automatically, hey, we're going to be rested, we're going to play this team. Sometimes it's, hey, we're going to be a little bit rusty because we haven't played in 5 or 6 days or maybe, you know, 10 days at that point. So I think it could go either way. I think North, being the host, probably has the hardest hill to climb, although they do have the X factor. They got to play a player named Joe Milliken, not to be confused with Joe Milligan. So anyway, I think it'll be a pretty good sectional. I think that first game, Central and North, should be a pretty good one. I think Wrights and Harrison, like you said, is going to be just a barn burner. I think the fans are going to be into that because of what Wrights did. They won by 32, and then Harrison turned around and won by 5. And when those teams played each other in the sectionals in the past years, it's always been fun. It's just a good crowd, a good atmosphere. That game alone will draw a ton of people over at North High School, which, by the way, I think that is an excellent, excellent place to host. They've got that new gym. Andrew Huff, the athletic director, has done a great job. They were great for us when we did a ball game out there. I don't think you could ask for a better place to have this year's sectional as far as crowd attendance and a new gym and an atmosphere. I think it's going to be rocking over there.
Well, I would agree with you. I think it's competitive. I don't think there's any doubt that Castle has the ability to win it. Central has the ability to win it. Wrights and Harrison obviously have the weapons. I'm going to go with Wrights, and I'm not going out on a limb doing it because Wrights is a really good basketball team. I think that Coach Adams has the experience in the tournament. I think he also has the team to win that, and I'm just not convinced that Harrison understands how to play the inside-outside part of the game. Now, having said that, Chris, when you look at 4A, and I know we're talking about looking way out there to the next, I don't know that the team that comes out of this sectional can really advance deep into the tournament, though.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I think they certainly, you know, a team that could go to the regional and possibly make some noise, but I think the competition in 4A has been so tough year in and year out that we really have to have down here a really quality basketball team, and not to say that these teams aren't quality, but like you said, I think every team kind of has their chinks in their armor. I think Wrights is probably a year away from, you know, being a really good basketball team. Castle's kind of up and coming, and it's kind of cyclical. You know, we've seen some teams that are really good that you knew had a good shot, and they still went into that regional and lost to, you know, the good New Albany Jeffersonville teams or whoever they might run into, even when we had really, really good teams. 4A's been a hard way to go for our teams in the past in basketball. It hasn't been as hard for football teams, but certainly it's been tough for basketball. And I don't think we have the talent it takes, but you never know. I mean, I think playing each other, maybe these teams have beaten each other up this year. I think Castle I think it was Castle that lost to Jeffersonville by a couple of points the other night.
Yeah.
So I think our teams are certainly competitive enough to do that, but you know, we'll see, you know, what happens once we get out of this sectional.
Well, and for the Harrison fans who are listening and are upset that I'm talking more right, I do think Harrison has a good basketball team, and I think they've played a tough schedule. I think that Coach Spears has, you know, they played some pretty good competition, and it tested them, and it might have hurt their egos a little bit and the confidence factor a little bit, but I still think Ernie Duncan is an outstanding senior leader. And I think he has come up big in games where he almost willed that team to victory. and I'm not saying he can't do it now, but the fact that they just have not developed an inside game bothers me. Chris, let's move on to sectional 32. It's a 3A sectional. It involves some more Evansville basketball teams. We have a pretty good Princeton team in that. You saw them the other night when you did the Central Princeton game. They have struggled the last couple weeks, losing to Heritage Hills, barely beating Jasper at home. We've got Evansville Bossy, who doesn't have Jaquan Lyle, but has overcome that and played well at times, but they have a heck of a player in Farrell. Evansville Memorial, who I think is good enough, if they come to play and their kids play at the level they're capable, can win that sectional. Gibson Southern, Mount Vernon, and Boonville as well. But Princeton, Bossy, and Evansville Memorial seem to be the three key teams there in sectional 32 at Princeton.
Yeah, and I agree with that completely. You know, when you look at that 4A sectional we were going over, I thought there were really four teams that could probably come out of that. When you look at this, and that's exactly my thought, you know, there's probably three teams, probably Gibson Southern, Boonville's got one win, Mount Vernon's been under 500 and really hasn't done well against those sectional opponents. But then you got Memorial. I saw them last year. I believe it was at Wright's, and they I think they either won on the road or that game went to overtime, and I'm trying to remember what happened. But I really thought Brandon Auker just looked unbelievable in that game. They got another player, Eric Decker, that's really good. That team has a bye. They're going to play Princeton. Princeton's obviously no easy win for Memorial because they have great guard play. They got a center, Havel, that scores about 15 or 16 a game. And I think, if I remember right, they have five players or maybe four players that score in double figures and a point guard that, you know, gets about seven assists a game. So I think Princeton beating Boonville and then playing Memorial would certainly be one of the games to watch. I think Bossy's going to have a little bit of an easier time. They got Gibson Southern, then they, although that is at Princeton, so I know the fans will be going nuts up there. And then they got Mount Vernon, so I think Bossy's got a pretty easy route to the title game. They'll probably play Princeton or Memorial for the championship, and I think that game is kind of a toss-up. I think Memorial, maybe their strength is schedule is going to have a lot to say with that. I think they may end up beating Princeton, but that game is at Princeton, which always makes it a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, and we know that Princeton went into Memorial a few weeks back, probably a month or so ago, and beat them by like 20 points. But I don't think that – I think Memorial was going through some situations. They had a couple players that had some off-the-court issues, and all that's been changed around. But I do like any one of these teams to win it. I think Memorial is very capable of winning it because I do think they have Auker and Everhard. They also have a couple of other guys that can play the game as well. I think Bossy probably, for me, has surprised me with how well they've played at times. I knew Farrell was going to be good, but I was kind of stunned with some of the rest of their they've got some inside play that I wasn't sure they were going to have. And then, of course, Princeton has shown all year they're very capable. But I really, Chris, I don't know what it is, but I don't like when I see teams struggle the last few weeks of the season, and I feel like Princeton maybe is not peaking and kind of hitting a low at the same time. I could be wrong. It's at home, and Princeton may come out and win that sectional, but I'm not sure about that. When you saw them against Central, what were your feelings about them?
I thought they played pretty well, and I think even though Central continually, you know, built a 10-point lead or 12-point lead and they tried to, you know, kind of go into blowout stage, I think Princeton played pretty effectively trying to keep that lead close. They kept cutting into it, chipping away, then Central would get a big bucket. I think defensively, and this is just my guess, I think that's probably where they're going to have a little bit of a problem. They're kind of guard heavy, but they allowed some of the Central players to slash, which, you know, and get easier buckets. They made some bad mistakes on turnovers where they basically didn't do a bounce pass. They threw one in the air. Cortland Martin just kind of ripped it and went for an easy bucket. I think there's some things that they need to do that they got to concentrate in sectional play to win. If they run into a Bossy that's got a Perry Farrell and a Bo Burkhardt at guard, not to mention some good inside players that can kind of stop Havel, like a Bryson Johnson who at the game winner in the game we were doing against North, I think those could present some problems. I think the better matchup for Princeton is against Memorial. I think, like you said, they won at Memorial, and I think they could probably win again in their gym, depending on, you know, which team shows up. And you never know with high school kids. That's the big thing is it's hard to predict. It's very, very hard to predict. But I will say this, Bossy is got a pretty good track run of going through the sectional play, and they've got a lot of balance. They've got a lot of speed. The only thing I will say about Bossy is they kind of live and die with the three sometimes, and if they're not hitting those and if they're on the road in a hostile environment, that's where I think Princeton could take advantage. But I don't think that Princeton's going to get the easy looks or some of the easier looks that they maybe had against Central.
And I think I buy everything you just said, and especially Princeton's probably going to have a better opportunity against Memorial. They seem to struggle a little bit with the athletic teams, and with the more athletic teams. And I did notice watching that Central game, which you did a great job in the Central-Princeton game, calling that game. They were able to pick off some really easy passes out top where they were making that high wing to a key area pass, and it was not a good bounce pass. It was more of a straight line lob pass, chest pass.
Yeah, kind of looks like something I would do in pickup basketball.
And Central took it the other way without any problems. It'll be interesting. Both 4A and 3A involve Evansville schools as well as some teams around the area. If you had to pick one team in this particular 4A sectional or 3A sectional to go deepest in the tournament, do you have a pick, or do you think, hey, it's a crapshoot?
Yeah, I think it's kind of – well, 3A has always been the road for our teams to have the majority of success. If you look back at, you know, what Bossy has done and what Princeton did, you know, when they were having good teams. So I think 3A is definitely the place to do it. Whether our teams have the overall talent to do that, I think – probably if you look at them all, you know, look at the, you know, a starting five, I would have to almost go Bossy. And I don't want to say that because, you know, I think they've done that before. I think you're right. You hit the hammer on the head and the nail on the head with 4A. I don't think our teams there are deep enough or probably good enough to do it. I think they're very, very well coached with the talent that they have. But I don't see that happening. I think Bossy's a team with Perry Farrell that can light it up. They got Burkhardt. If he's hitting his jumper, that's just huge for the team. He's kind of streaky, but if he's hitting his three, then that team is awfully, awfully good because they got Bryson Johnson down low. They got a couple other players, big post players. I think Bossy. I mean, that's just my ultimate feeling. But you never know. Somebody like a Memorial or a Princeton, they get hot and they win a couple of games, and all of a sudden you come down to a one-game atmosphere. I mean, I think some of the teams could do it in 3A. I don't think we have that in 4A, though.
All right, Chris Goodman, great stuff. And we'll see what happens as we go through this sectional tournament. We'll have you back to talk some more tournament hoops next week. And appreciate you coming on the show.
Sounds great, man. You take care up there, and hopefully I'll see you at one of these games. I want to try to get my kids out there. My two-year-old, he runs around too darn much, so I can't even take him and put him in a bleacher, I don't think, without him trying to run on the court, so we don't want to make the news. At least we don't want to make the news that way anyway.
Great stuff, Chris. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Andy Igel, former Eastern of Green coach, outstanding coach. He's going to talk about a couple sectionals up in that area, 1A and 2A. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929. For the Huskers.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, joined by the coach, Coach K, Kent Schulteis. Coach, we're waiting for Coach Eigel to call in, and I have a question. It's from a Ligoti number. He did not give me his name, so I'll go ahead and ask. Well, I guess I shouldn't assume Ligoti. It's from that up that area. And the question is Toby Madison's 43 points in 1993 still the Washington regional record? And did the Zellers or another player break it? By the way, Washington's sectional record is 45, and that was set way back in 1958 by Ligoti Jr., Wilmer Whitmer, against Petersburg.
Well, that's a great question. I have no idea about, for anyone listening to the show right now, 45 points is a lot of points. 43 points is a lot of points. And, of course, Toby Madison played for me as a freshman. In fact, he started for me after about four or five games in the year before he sprained his ankle. He went on to be an Indiana All-Star, University of Evansville and South Alabama starter, and just an outstanding player. So that, regardless of not having the true answer to the question from the caller, hey, it's a great question because it gives us a lot of insight and information for historical purposes out of that Washington sectional. Andy Eigel is with us. And Coach Eigel, you're on the Coach K and Joe Show. Are you ready to talk some sectional hoops?
I'm ready to talk some hoops.
How's your day going?
Pretty good. Pretty good. We're just sitting around wondering whether we're going to be in school on Monday with the big impending storm.
Well, you're probably, at least they're saying, 8 to 10 inches up in your area. We'll see what happens. But I believe that the basketball gods will not allow that to happen, and the sun will shine, and sectional play will happen the way it's supposed to happen. Coach, you are very familiar with that area, having been an outstanding basketball coach at Eastern Green. You're in your second year on this out of the sidelines, I should say. I was going to say on the sidelines, but you're actually not even on the sidelines. You're up in the stands. Before we get into these two sectionals, how does it feel being out, and do you still get kind of jumpy and giddy knowing it's sectional time? You still have those flashbacks?
There's no question. As you well know, this is the time of the year where I think if you're a basketball fan, you get really excited. But this past Sunday, sitting at home thinking what I'd be doing if I had been coaching, it made me very anxious, to say the least, to think about all the things you'd be getting ready for and the nerves, good nerves, I might add, but I definitely miss that part, and this part of the year is a special time for everyone, but especially coaches.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I have, since the draw, leading up to the draw, and then the draw itself, been jumpy, a little irritable, as my wife says. My son asked me, am I mad about something? I mean, I think it's just the flashback of getting focused and you're going into the tournament, that type of thing. I know it's funny to people listening because it's been a while since I've been since I've coached on the sidelines in sectional, but you just never forget the feeling and the intensity leading up to the sectional as well as going into it. And speaking of sectionals, let's go ahead and start with a 1A sectional up in your area, sectional 57. We've got White River Valley, Bloomfield, Clay City, Eminence, Shackamack, and Duggar. Talk to us a little bit about those teams, that sectional, and what your expectations are.
Well, this has been a year for particularly the teams in this sectional, but also our conference, the SWIAC conference in general, where the basketball has not been where it's been in past years. So you have four teams that are actually sub 500, with the home standing White River Valley Wolverines, who are 7-10, but actually playing some of their best basketball of the year with one of the byes. And then the Bloomfield Cardinals, which we at Eastern Green always say always get the bye, at 11-8, but still a very, very young basketball team. And I think, you know, Clay City's got to be the favorite. They beat WRV. They split with Bloomfield. And they're just a really fun team to watch. They do a lot of drive and kick offense, shoot a lot of threes. And when they're shooting the ball well, they're really good. And they've won, I think, 7 of their last 8. So they're probably the favorite. But Bloomfield, Clay City have split during the regular season. WRV lost an overtime game at Clay City in a homecoming game. And I know Coach Neal at White River Valley really likes the way his team's played, and he's got to the sectional championship game 3 straight years and fell short. A friend of mine, I got to be honest, I'm rooting for him.
Well, again, that is a sectional that has a lot of teams with great tradition between them. The Green County tournament, the old Terre Haute tournament years ago, a lot of tradition, a lot of history with a lot of those basketball teams. If you take your emotion aside, your loyalty aside, your friendship aside, if you got to pick your winner, who's your winner coming out of there?
Well, I think you've got to take Bloomfield the top of the bracket. And you, Coach, you alluded to the tradition factor. You know, Bloomfield's got 30-plus sectionals, and as much as I hate to admit it, and I do hate to admit it, they do win a lot of these tournaments because their people go in with an expectation, and the community and the players know of their past tournament success. And as good a job as Vance Edmondson does at Clay City, and he does a great job, and they're 15-6, I think he's going to run into that in the championship game if he gets to that point where Bloomfield wins the game on tradition and a good basketball team.
Yeah, I know that you have a great rivalry just inset inside of you being a former Eastern Green coach with Bloomfield, and I remember Vance Edmondson when he used to play basketball in high school. Coach, let's jump over to 2A, a sectional you are very, very familiar with. You stalked those sidelines. You cut down those nets. You went through those battles, and that's the sectional 47 at North Knox. You got North Knox, Eastern Green, Linton Stockton, North Central of Sullivan County, South Knox, and Sullivan.
Well, it's going to be a doozy. It really is, because you've got 4 teams with 15 wins, headed by the host North Knox Warriors, who have won 11 in a row, and they are really, really hot. Coach Hall down there has got those kids playing really well. And the first game, the kickoff game for the sectional Tuesday, 6 o'clock, the Linton Miners 15-6 and the Sullivan Golden Arrows at 15-5. What a matchup and what a bracket, which brings me to the bottom of the bracket where my T-Birds are kind of been up and down. They're 9-11. They play the North Central Farmersburg T-Birds. And we've already beat them twice. We both know how tough it is to beat a team 3 times. And that winner will get the South Knox Spartans.
And South Knox has been a pretty solid team. As you mentioned, Sullivan, Linton. I mean, that really is a tough, competitive sectional. And I didn't realize North Knox was on the run they were on.
They're just really playing well, and this is a team that Coach Hall 3 years ago played freshman. Well, now those kids are juniors, and they're reaping the benefits, and I'm happy for him because I know they went through some tough rebuilding times, but you can see it, you know, on the defensive end, they've totally bought into what he's trying to get done, and then offensively they've got 2 really good players in the Muir kid who just went over 1,000 points against Ligoti last night, and then he's got a Grauman kid, Chris Grauman, that's just a really, really good athlete that's scoring double figures for him. So they're led by those 2 juniors, and their best year might be ahead of them, but we both know that sometimes when it's expected, you don't always get one. Sometimes when you're young and your kids step up, you go in surprised. But they're going to have a tough road to hoe in that top bracket.
You know, Sullivan has had a pretty good tradition over the last couple decades, good solid basketball teams, good coaching. Is this a Sullivan team that can move through this sectional, or is it just going to be a situation where, you know, they're going to put up a good fight, or can any of these teams that you've talked about, North Knox, Sullivan, South Knox, Linton, can any of these teams win this sectional?
Well, I think any of those four 15-win teams are definitely in a position to do it. But first of all, with Sullivan, you know, Coach Moore, they were 3A forever. They moved down to 2A thinking things might get a little bit easier. But actually, had they been in the 3A sectional the past 2 years, they would have been above and beyond the best basketball team in it. Unfortunately, Linton and then my last year with my last group, we had – we were really good, and we were fortunate to win that sectional. Linton wins it that year. I know Coach Moore kind of feels like maybe this is it's his time to get one. But you know, the Miners have lived and done a lot with what they had coming back after losing two really good basketball players to be 15-6. So I think Sullivan's got what it takes. They've had some adversity. They lost their best player halfway through the year with some alcohol issues, and they bounced back, been kind of up and down. But, you know, they're physical. They play a certain way that if you don't handle their pressure, you could really struggle with them.
Well, you know, the exciting thing, I think, when you look at this sectional is I see great coaching. And I mean that. You've got some pretty solid coaches in there. You've got teams that are going to play the way you want a basketball team to play. They're not going to be the greatest athletes. They're not going to be the biggest players, but they're going to be good, fundamental, hardworking players, and the crowds are going to be out there to support them. That I think 2A right now in the southern part of the state, when you look at the different sectionals and the teams that make up the different sites, 2A is just about as exciting as you can get if you want to go out and watch high school basketball in the state of Indiana the way we know high school basketball is played.
Well, and everybody wants to make changes. I know there's a proposal in front of the IHSAA, the coaching associations voted on it. But I'm going to tell you what, and having been in this sectional and the WRV sectional, and you know from experience the Washington Southridge sectional, all those basketball in this area is as good and is still a fan favorite as it is or as it was back in the day. The crowds are still up. You know, my last year, the sectional sold out every night. People are still very excited, and the quality is really, really good. And you see communities throw it all out there on the line, and a lot of emotion involved. But basketball is stronger than ever in the southern part of the state.
Well, Coach, it's great having you on the show, and good stuff as always. And, you know, I love you, buddy. You're like a brother to me. I got a bunch of brothers, but you're like one of them. We go back a long time. I've said before, there's nothing like having a great coaching staff. And my time with you and when we worked together at Washington Catholic, it was like not having assistant coaches. It was like having a group of head coaches together. You're just a big part of my life, and enjoyed having you on the show.
Well, those were special years, no question about it. I'll never, ever forget them. And even though I was an assistant, like you said, we were all working together for the common goal, and you did a great job of using all of us that were involved at Washington Catholic at that time.
Well, I appreciate the compliment. Who knows what the future holds, Coach? We might be working together again. You never know.
You don't know. We'll see how it plays out. It's great to be on the show, Coach.
All right. Get excited about the sectionals coming up, and try not to get too much snow up there. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Mike DeCourcy from the General, the play-by-play man for the Bar E Vikings. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family, cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac, Toyota Scion in Jasper. We've all heard the commercial, 15 minutes could save you 15. Folks, let me tell you, it won't take 15 minutes for us to save you money. Give Ubelar's a call at 1-800-937-USA1 or visit us online at ubelar.com. We'll tell you the facts, treat you right, no bait and switch, and best of all, we will save you money. Ubelar Chevy Cadillac, Toyota Scion in Jasper, where customers send their friends for a lifetime of savings in 15 minutes or less since 1929.
We've been all over this before. Their top player is Boyle, number 15. He averages about 20 points a game. Buddy, you got to stick right with him. No inside penetration, shut down those passing lanes. And you got to play tough off those boards. Negate their height advantage.
Hickory, it's time to set the floor.
I'll get pitching.
Okay.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. And, Coach, you know, you've got such a following. Everyone loves you. And wanted to quick say before you got with Mike that John Mullen, Washington Catholic, 1993, just wanted to tell the coach hi.
Well, John Mullen, of course, was an outstanding player at Washington Catholic, a very smart student as well, great family. John was coming up through the grades and just started into high school when I left to go to Jasper. But, boy, he was a player, now the principal at Ligoti High School, and a great historian of the game of basketball, Joe, a great historian of the local area, and has done put together several books giving the history of different things, and I'm sure he'll continue to do that. So, John, it was great to hear from you. Joe, there is a following. It's not always good for me, though. It's not always good for me. Hey, next on the show we have from the general, the play-by-play man for the Bari Vikings, Mike DeCourcy. Mike, how you doing today?
Hey, Coach. What's happening?
Before we get started, two things. One, we're going to let you give a little plug to the general, to the radio station. And two, we'll make sure you get to talk more because I know during the games – Travis Madison, your sidekick, doesn't even give you a chance to do the play-by-play most of the time.
I get trampled on more than people who run with the Bulls in Pamplona with Travis Madison on the radio. I mean, and how you ever coach guys like Travis and Chad Ballingy and these guys who I just couldn't imagine being able to speak at halftime because, you know, they would talk so much. I don't understand.
Well, the rule was from the time they got into the gym to the time they left, they had to be quiet. I did the talking. They did the listening. I gave them all the time after that. And believe me, Travis took advantage of every second of it. But a great guy. Tell us a little bit about the radio station, the general, before we get in and talk about the sectional at North Davies.
Well, we're up here with DLC Media. It's 107.9, 95.9, 1580 AM. And we're around the world on WAMWAMSM.com, on 4starcountry.com, and our station is owned by Dave Crooks, a longtime radio guy, a guy who served in the State House for a number of years, and Dave is a big proponent of high school sports and trying to put as many people on the radio as possible, and recently he's added us in recent years, given Washington Catholic some pub, and they do they're the voice of the Hatchets as well. So just they cover everybody and they do it well.
Well, that's a great outlet. They love high school sports up there. They're doing everything to get the local schools on, and I know I've caught games on the road several times and have enjoyed them. And who knows, maybe the Coach K and Joe show will have to simulcast or transition over and get on some of that radio talking to Mr. Crooks. Let's look at one of the best sectionals traditionally in the area, the southern part of the state, maybe in the state, and I know they have the best team, at least in their class in the state, and we're talking about sectional 63 at North Davies. Bar Eve, of course, the number one in 1A. Mike, take us through those teams in that sectional.
Well, I think you would be a little bit remiss if you didn't start with us, quite frankly. You know, there's a little debate kind of in the area right now. Is this maybe the best Bar Eve team that we've ever seen, that there's ever been? It's got a great mix of good guard play, of size, athleticism, skill. It's deep. You know, obviously, and Coach Hughes has always been one of the very best in the business, and he's got a great coaching staff. One of the guys on the staff, of course, Coach, is your son Josh here in his first year at Bar Eve, you know, it just seems like all the bases are covered. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means we've got a shot, I think, but at the same time, that's not the end of the day, you know, every time, so we'll have to see how it goes.
Well, the interesting thing about that sectional, and, you know, they say it's a blind draw, and I truly believe it, although I wish the IHSA would draw that thing on the day of the draw. They had it
right on
TV this year. I don't like having it a couple days before. That leaves too much room for scrutiny. So Bobby Cox or anybody from the IHSA, I know we occasionally get listeners from the IHSA, please draw that thing the morning that show goes on the air. So it can be done. It's been done in the past. But that big game coming out is your host, North Davies. Probably, you know, the best team in the tournament or one right there other than Bar Eve. And right away we see Bar Eve and North Davies, great traditional rivalry, bowl and all that. We see them hooking up right out of the bat. Is this North Davies team, are they capable of putting it together and overcoming what I think is a good Bar Eve team, but I think is a mentally tough Bar Eve team? I think they answer the bell not just to show up. I think they answer the bell to play ball.
Well, the calling card with our squad is it starts on the defensive end of the floor, and there's five guys on the floor at all time who buy into the defensive end, and that's not necessarily always been the case. When you talk about North Davies, you got to start with Coach Dalrymple, and you try to explain to people outside of the area and maybe that they don't understand. But, Coach, you know, he's built a program at North Davies in the last 14 years that, you know, he basically built the thing out of nothing. And the thing about Coach Dalrymple, and I've always kind of described it, I worked at North Davies for 5 years and helped coach, you know, some and was his freshman coach for a little while, is he's a mad scientist. He'll play zone. He'll play man. He'll play jump defenses. He'll press. He'll trap. He'll pack in a defense. You know, they will play slow, they will play fast. You know, a lot of people just kind of do what they do, but Dalrymple, you know, Coach Dalrymple, he adapts and adjusts to his personnel. And the thing that kind of concerns me as a Viking supporter is they're capable of scoring a lot of points. They go into the Hatchet House Tuesday night, put up 60, beat the Hatchets. You know, so they're certainly capable of putting the ball in the bucket. It's going to come down to Bar Eve's ability to get consecutive stops, I think, and that'll be a big key in the game.
Well, I said on our Twitter feed that I believe that the winner of this sectional definitely comes out of Vincent Gervais. Also will hook up, and I believe do they have Ligoti in their first-round matchup?
Right. Yeah, they've got Ligoti the first round, and just talking about it with some people this morning, personnel-wise, you know, if you had all the kids standing there and they were wearing the same, you know, the same uniforms, and you didn't know who was from what team, and, you know, I think you could make an argument that Gervais has the second most impressive personnel in the sectional. You know, size-wise, they matched us at Bar Eve last week. They've got a couple of pretty good young guards. They've had several good junior high classes kind of come through in a row. Like a lot of young teams, they've had trouble kind of stringing wins together, and in the game that we had last Friday night, they have trouble stringing good possessions together, which has turned around a bit then. But Reveille is, you know, they beat North Davies early in the season. They've got some good wins, you know, to their credit. But like a lot of younger teams, they have some bad losses too. But Reveille is certainly capable on that other side of the bracket.
And Ligoti, of course, Ligoti is a state, has a great tradition in the state of Indiana when it comes to tournament time. But Coach Wagoner's team is young, very inexperienced. How they will handle going on to the sectional floor has yet to be seen. I think Reveille-Ligoti is a good matchup, but based on what you said and based on what I believed going into the season, I've got to believe Reveille wins that game. And then, of course, Shoals and Washington Catholic sit out there waiting on winners, but I don't think those teams – it can happen. It's happened before. Years ago, a Washington Catholic team, before I got there, which was considered terrible, beats a really good Ligoti team in the opening rounds of the sectional. So it can happen, but I really feel like Reveille's got to really string some good games together personnel-wise. But North Davies, I like Barrie. I like the defense. I like the offense. I like the size. I like some of the quickness. They're pressing a little bit more. Their job is to come out and take care of business.
I agree with that totally. And to hit on Ligoti for just a second, Coach, you know, when you talk about Mike Wagoner, you know, coming into to the sectional, I believe they're a 6-14 team, and what a lot of people that, you know, people around Ligoti are not, they're not used to winning 6 basketball games a year, but from what I've seen, Coach Wagoner has been dealt some circumstances that he's had absolutely, positively no control over, and I think this may be one of the better coaching jobs that I've ever seen, because at the beginning of the year, Ligoti was just, they were just handing it to the other team, and it was just easy conversions, people shooting layups after turnovers, and basically what they've done in the second half of the season is they've really, really cut down on the turnovers. They went back to the typical Ligoti style with trying to maybe limit possessions a little bit. And consequently, they've been in more basketball games. I think on Tuesday night, Jasper and Ligoti tied going into the fourth quarter. You know, they play North Knox, a team that's won 11 straight games to a 5-point game last night. So this is a team that they're kind of hanging around. And I think at the beginning of the season, if you would have told a lot of Ligoti fans, hey, you know, in the sectional, if you can just hang around, would you take it? And I think with everything that they were dealt, they'd probably say that they would.
You know, Mike, I think you make a great point, and I've known Coach Wagoner, at least from a coaching standpoint, professionally, for many, many years. He's been around everything that you can be around. He knows how to be successful. He knows how to win. I don't question his ability to coach one bit. I agree with you. I think I saw the team play a couple times this year. I think they've gotten better as the year's gone on. I think he's tried to put them in a game. As you said, take time off the clock, limit possession opportunities for the other team. But that's a learning experience as well with young guys, because they got to be able to do it. They got to be able to handle the ball. They got to be able to make the passes. And they have come on and done that. He's proven his ability to win. He's already proven that. So anybody in Ligoti that's questioning Coach Wagoner, come on, take a step back, take a break. It happens. I had a year like my last year at Jasper was like that. I lost a starter who moved away. My best player decides to concentrate on baseball. I have another potential starter, would have started, gets hurt. Sometimes the circumstances happen. You can't do anything about them. You go out and do the very best job you can, and you coach like crazy. I think that's what Coach Wagoner has done. As we end this segment, Mike, is there any concern you have? I know you've watched Barrie all year long. Coach Hughes knows how to get ready for the tournament. Any concern you have going in to this sectional first round?
No. No. And I mean that in the respect, and I say that respectfully. The only concern that I would have is somehow the ball just doesn't go in the bucket. Because this is a team, and when I say no, what I meant was this is a team that's answered the bell every night. It would be easy to have as much talent as we have in a traditional year You know, if we don't go play in that Kentucky Challenge event that the State Coaches Association put on, you're talking about an undefeated season. And whether it's been in a game that you should absolutely clobber somebody else, or a game that's been very competitive, these kids have came out, they've answered the bell, they've played hard, and they've just kind of taken care of business from the opening tip, as you have seen throughout the year. So as far as having a concern, no. Could North Davies come out and hit a bunch of threes and Barreed just missed the bucket? Yeah, absolutely. You know, crazier things can happen. But as far as being concerned about our personnel, our preparation, as far as being ready to play, the coaching staff not doing it, you know, no, I have full confidence that we will absolutely be ready to play, and that's something that they've done all year. Not a lot of teams that I think that's a talent. Just like playing good defense or making shots, being ready to play every night is a skill and a talent. And this team, and if you knew our kids and the regulars in the rotation, you would understand why the guys are ready to play every single night.
And the wonderful thing about it is, There's great teams coming behind him. An outstanding JV. I think it only has one loss. So the bar he covered is not fair next year anyway, because most of these guys are coming back. But I do agree with you, Mike. I think you make a great point that a lot of people fail to understand. It is a skill. It is a preparation to be able to come out and be ready to play every night. And even the greatest teams on the college level struggle with that. This bar team has done it. And I love how Coach Hughes has expanded the capabilities of the team. He's expanded the defensive capabilities of the team. They can put pressure on full court if they need to. So great stuff, Mike. I look forward to getting up there and seeing the championship game, if not more than that. And I look forward to Barry being in that game.
As always, thanks for having us on. And, hey, we'd love to talk to you when you're up watching Josh coach and to talk to you there again.
Well, it'll be exciting. Make sure you get a mute button for Travis so you can
pump we'll hit the red button on Travis. Yeah, we'll hit the red button. It's no problem.
Mike DeCourcy from the General out of Washington, the Barry play-by-play man. That's going to be a great sectional at North Davies, folks. If you get a chance, go up and watch that one. It'll be a packed house. Davies County will be out there in force, of course, as well as Martin County, sectional 63. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to be talking with our contributor out of Indy, Don Schulteis. Let me tell you something. There are some great sectionals up in the Indianapolis area, from 4A down into 2A. Don's going to tell us all about it. I'm pumped up for this sectional Friday show. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Uvalar with Uvalar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Right now, Uvalar's has a huge selection of awesome pre-owned vehicles. Cars, trucks, vans, sport utilities, in most all price categories. And they're all priced to sell. Some are certified and some have special low APRs, but best of all, they are all priced to sell. Uvalar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends for great pre-owned vehicles since 1929.
Does your website work for you?
Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results.
Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
We're way past big speech time. I want to thank you for the last few months. It's been very special for me. Anybody have anything they want to say?
Yeah. Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
I want to win for my dad.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Thank you.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. You're with the coach, Coach K. And, folks, let me tell you, the last snippet Joe played of the locker room at the end of the year, the playing for a state championship, that's as real as can be. Maybe not all the conversation or the words that come out, but those moments in the locker room between coach and team, that is as real as can be. There is a camaraderie that you build during the season. There is a toughness that you build. But let me tell you something. You share each other's weaknesses during the season. You share each other's faults. You share each other's successes on and off the court, and you share the raw emotion that you feel. And it's like anything else you do in life. The longer you share time with someone, the more vested you get with them. And I can tell you of my 12 basketball teams, I felt that way every year. I felt that way. Of the youth teams I've coached, I feel that way. Of kids that I've worked with individually on the side, I feel that way. It's an emotional ride that you're on, and you want to get them to that championship game. I never got there. A lot of coaches haven't. But sometimes when you're sitting in that locker room, if it's a sectional championship, regional championship, next level up, that raw emotion is there, and those feelings are there. Believe me, that's a great movie, and it's pretty accurate in a lot of areas. We've got our Indy contributor, and he knows what I'm talking about because he's gone through it as a player. He grew up with it in a coaching family, and he is right on the mark when it comes to talking about Indianapolis high school basketball. Don Schulteis joins us. Don, there's some great tournaments that are going to go on up in the Indy area.
Absolutely, Coach. It's just the adrenaline's building. I know that Cathedral played their last game of the season and their last home game last night and routed a Lafayette Central Catholic team. And so you can just tell that the team had a lot of energy, and I suspect a lot is going on in a lot of locker rooms this week as they're prepping for the start Hoosier Hysteria next week.
Well, speaking of Cathedral, I went up and was able to watch my nephew, godson, Matt Schulteis played JV ball for Cathedral against Ben Davis at Ben Davis High School. And you talk about, man, it's like a small town there. It's amazing. Bob Lovell was in the house doing radio on that game. And a lot of people, former Forest Park coach Tom Beach, who's at Anderson University as an assistant, was there. Mark James coaches Ben Davis. Mark and I go back to my earliest days of coaching. I got to talk to him. I got to see Cathedral play. I got to see Ben Davis play. Two good basketball teams. I know Cathedral has been considered in Indy one of the top five teams all year. Don, they put it on a pretty good, at least from the class standpoint. A lot of people have a lot of respect for Lafayette Central Catholic. So they rebounded from Ben Davis, and they came out ready to play and ready to go into the tournament. And they will go into one heck of a sectional up there. Talk a little bit about that section.
Well, they're feeding into the this year it'll be played at Lawrence North sectional, and it is, if not the toughest in the state, it's got to be in the top two, and the other one's probably at Noblesville this year. But at Lawrence North, we've got Warren Central, who's just a little above 500. They're 11-9, battling Cathedral on Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Those two teams met earlier in the year in December, and Warren Central's a good competitive team. And Cathedral has got to be ready to play to take them and be able to move on to possibly face Roncalli in the second round. But before that, right after that Tuesday night game at 7:30, Lawrence North, who is coached by 700-plus win coach Jack Kiefer, will be playing Tech. And Tech is, playing their last game of the season tonight at Ben Davis. It's on local TV up here, so it'll be interesting to see how they're playing going into the tournament. And then if they win that, they'll be moving on to play Lawrence Central. So Cathedral, who's the defending champ, could be facing Tech in the final game, but it is going to be a lot of work to get there for both teams. It's a tough field. You know, Don, with Tech playing their last game, I hate that. I never liked going into that final weekend. We always tried to play a Tuesday game and get it done with. And then you start sitting, start waiting for sectional. You don't worry about injuries and things like that. You've got another concern going on before we move on to more sectionals. We got a big winter storm coming in, and if you get the kind of snow that they're saying you could get, that could really affect potential tournament, at least opening round games, up in the Indy area.
Yeah, there looks like there's going to be possibly 6 to 9 inches of snow coming in on late Saturday night or early Sunday morning in through Monday. Depending on how that gets cleaned up, you might have to cancel those games on Tuesday and push them back to Wednesday possibly. But what's gonna affect it is Monday's preparation, I'm sure. Just if schools are out, you know how that goes. Everybody's out of their routine. They're going to have practice probably a different, you know, later in the day or something that they're just not used to. And I tell you, I've never coached at the high school level, but I think repetition and kind of routine would be best as you're going in there to try to stay locked in and focused.
I would concur with you. I think that when kids have the day off, they get to getting lazy. They get mentally lost a little bit. Some players are okay, but the majority, it's just not good for. Now, Tech, again, has been ranked one or two almost all year long. They really go into the tournament, I call it, with kind of the monkey on the back in that everybody expects them to win, but they're not playing in a tournament or sectional round or sectional a tournament grouping that are just people that are going to lay down. These are teams that have played against them, played competitively, and as you said, Cathedral could play Tech in the final game. Does Tech hit a stumbling block anywhere on the way to the final game?
Well, they could hit two stumbling blocks. I mean, they've got to open up with Lawrence North, who, you know, year in and year out is going to be competitive. And I'll tell you, Lawrence North is playing their best basketball right now. They have won three or four in a row, and they're going into the sectional looking pretty good and hitting on all cylinders. So Tech, who has had kind of a light schedule, coach, the last couple of weeks, they were playing a lot of games in December and January in the early part of this month, but the last 2-3 weeks they've only had one game a week. I don't know if that's by design or just the way the schedule rolled out. So they'll be playing tonight, prepping on tomorrow and Monday and then going into that game. But if they get past Lawrence North, they're going to be playing a very competitive Lawrence Central team. Lawrence Central's led by three or four sophomores, so they're a little bit young. They're good, and they're very capable. So, as I said, Tech has got to be on to get through to the final game, as well as Cathedral, who is the defending champ and who's played Tech two other times this year already and have gotten beat. One, the first outing early in the season was lopsided by about 30, but they met in the city championship and they got beat by 8 points and played very competitive against Tech. And as Andy Igel said, Coach, if those two teams get to the finals, that'll be the third meeting of the year, and it is tough to beat a team three times.
Another big sectional up in that area you alluded to when we started the segment was the Noblesville sectional, Don. Yeah, I mean, you made sure when we talked before, you said, hey, I got to be able to talk about the Noblesville sectional. Go ahead, big guy.
Well equally as competitive and may even be more competitive than Lawrence North is the Noblesville sectional. Includes Hamilton Southeastern, Fishers, Zionsville, Carmel, North Central, and Westfield. And Hamilton Southeastern, who has been playing very well and is ranked third in the state in the overall poll, is sporting an 18-3 record. Carmel is 18-1, and they're in opposite brackets. So you could see HSE and Carmel heading to the final game. But just like at Lawrence North, Coach, they have got a lot of work to do before they get there, and And Hamilton Southeastern has probably got a little bit of an easier road. They play their city rival Fishers in the opening round, and then they would meet Noblesville. But, you know, they're the host of the tournament, playing on their home floor. Carmel will be playing Zionsville in the second game on Wednesday night, or the first game on Wednesday night, forgive me, at 6 p.m. And if they win, they would play the winner of Westfield and North Central, and North Central is led by sophomore sensation Aaron Gordon, and they've been playing good ball. So tough road for both of those schools, but I do suspect that HSE would be playing Carmel in the final.
Yeah, you've got number one and number three there, and I know that you have a lot of respect for Coach Scott Hetty at Carmel. Another sectional that I think is interesting, it's in the 2A grouping. You've got Park Tudor, Trevon Blewett, he can play for anybody, and Indianapolis Cecina, they have the possibility of matching up.
Absolutely, and it's almost funny to think about all these key sectionals this year, Coach, at least up in this area. I don't know how it was down there, but it's almost like they fixed them to make sure that the two best teams are in opposite brackets and would be coming into the final game. I'm not alluding to that. I'm not saying the HSAA does that, because everybody has all the little ping pong balls bouncing around when they're doing these. But this year, in all these key sectionals, the top teams are in opposite brackets. And at Indianapolis Broad Ripple in 2A, you've got number one Tudor. They'll be waiting to play the winner out of the first round game of Heritage Christian and Shortridge. I've seen Heritage Christian play. They're a good team, but I think Shortridge is going to get them, so it'll probably be Park Tudor and Shortridge on Friday night. And then on the other side of the bracket, in the second game on Tuesday, it's Broad Ripple, the host of the tournament, will play Cecina. Cecina is a good team. They're 16-5 this year, ranked in the top 10 of their class in 2A. I saw Park Tudor and Cecina play a couple of weeks ago, and it was all Park Tudor. But given the talent level and the coaching staff, I suspect things will be a little bit different if both teams can get to the final.
Well, of course, a longtime friend and a coaching buddy of mine, Ron Heklinski, is the assistant at Cecina, where they are building a Park Tudor-like program. And if you know the insides of it, as I was told about it from our correspondent, Don Schulteis, you understand the direction they're going. Don, any other sectionals? I mean, they're all of note up in that area, but any sectional that you think people ought to be paying attention to that we haven't mentioned?
Well, I think that the Ben Davis sectional number 11, is interesting. You've got Indianapolis Pike and Ben Davis in that sectional, so they're in opposite brackets, and so it'll be interesting to see if those guys can meet up. You've also got Center Grove, where you've got Franklin Central and Center Grove and New Palestine, so that's an interesting sectional up here. In 3A, Greensburg, the number one team in 3A, is hosting their own sectional, playing South Dearborn in game one on Tuesday. Rushville, Lawrenceburg in the next game. You've also got Franklin County and Batesville. I suspect Greensburg will be in the regional, Coach, but you got to be following the number one team in 3A as well.
A lot of good stuff. A lot of good basketball. And believe me, folks, I was up there just a week ago, and it was amazing the athletic talent that was out on that basketball court, the effort that both teams put out. They're not just going through the motions up in Indianapolis, and that's why they've got great players up there. Don, thanks for joining our sectional show this week, pre-sectional show. We'll see what the weather does. We'll see if it affects the tournament any, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great, Coach. Thanks a lot.
All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, Kurt Guksa will join us at some point, but we're going to talk some more basketball, 3A Southridge sectional, and bring up a couple other sectionals of note that have some outstanding teams competing. Joe Milligan, the Joe of the show, Ken Schulteis, the Coach K of the show. We appreciate you listening. We're going to break. We'll be back with Kurt Gukesel on the Coach K and Joe show.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? Well, team up with the Coach K and Joe show and form a winning marketing team, and we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
With God of Heaven, it is all one. To deliver with a great multitude or a small company. For the victory of battle standeth not in the multitude of hosts, but strength cometh from heaven.
And David put his hand in the bag and took out a stone and slung it. And it struck the Philistine on the head, and he fell to the ground.
Amen. Amen.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe show on this pre-sectional Hoosiers edition. We're in our last segment, and I can tell you from that snippet, I actually did quote that David passage with my first year at Washington Catholic. We had an underdog team. We didn't win the sectional, but we did play fairly well, and always tell your team you love them before the game because you never know how the emotions are going to be after the game, and I'm just teasing on that. With us is a guy who's been around a lot of sectionals. He's been calling them for years and calling them well. Kurt Gukesel, sports director, WBDC. Kurt, great to have you. And boy, I saved the best for last. I saved the Southridge or Memorial, Huntingburg Memorial Gym sectional. I don't know if they call it the Southridge sectional or not. Sectional 31, but whatever they call it, there is no better venue. And I am so excited to say, this is going to be like sectionals of old.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, it should be a lot of fun up there. You have an extra night with seven teams in there, and people can't wait. I think they're looking forward to it. Even people that, you know, said that they weren't going to go to sectional games anymore or they don't like going or this, that, and the other, I think they'll show up for this one. So that makes it fun.
Yeah, I think they will too. And I know as a coach, Kurt, that extra game you started during the early part or middle part of the week, I hated getting that game, especially if it was against a very competitive opponent. It shortened the time you had to prepare, even though it's great to get out on the court, don't get me wrong, but man, if you did not come out with a victory, boy, it made for a long weekend in the sectional.
And vice versa, if you don't play until Friday, some of the fan base, it doesn't even feel like sectional week to them. So I guess any coach, you're sitting there going, when are we going to play? When are we going to play? And your fans are going, when are we going to play? You know, I guess it goes both ways, but I can see what you're talking about as far as if you happen to drop that game, which we hope none of the coaches do, but it's invariably going to happen.
No, I understand that, and I say that only from the human side, the emotion
right.
side. But when you have the long week and play on the weekend, you get a little extra meal to eat out because somebody in the community or the athletic department pays for an extra meal during the week for you to eat out with your team. It's just the little perks that come when you have the longer sectional week. But then on the other side, when you do win that Tuesday game,
Wednesday game, regardless of when they play it. You come back, school's a little bit easier, kids are in a great mood, and it makes the week. Let's look at this sectional. This is a really competitive sectional, Kurt. We have a Jasper team that is playing, you know, whether you want to say playing well or not, they're winning basketball games, and that's what they weren't doing that early in the year. They're doing it now. You've got a Southridge team that, as you have told us last week, is on a real roll. Heritage Hills gets a big win against a very good Princeton team the other night, and Devin Murder, son of a former teammate of mine, Dean Murder, goes over the 1,000-point mark in his career. You've got a Vincennes Lincoln team that has stubbed its toe a few times here late, but they've been playing really good competition. So you got to take a lot of things into the factor of how you look at this sectional, and then I guess you got to throw them all out because it's who's ready to play when it's time to tip the ball up.
Well, I agree, and between those four teams, you look at the head-to-head, but maybe that game was earlier in the season or maybe there were some other circumstances. But you can throw a blanket over those four teams, and after Wednesday you can throw a blanket over three of them because one of those teams in that Lincoln Heritage Hills game is going to be knocked out. So, you know, you talk about the draw, and everybody liked Jasper's draw, and then you look at Southridge's situation. You know, they're not going to have to go through Lincoln and Heritage Hills. There's going to be, if provided they be Washington, they're going to have to face one of them. So it's not like you're facing the gauntlet in any of those situations for any of those teams to go three games through very, very good teams. But, you know, again, the sectional is the sectional, and a lot of things can happen before we get all carried away.
Yeah, and there's no doubt about it. And Coach Miller has been in sectional tournaments and had great success throughout the tournament. He struggled with a group of kids this year that are undersized, young. They've had some kids that have been in and out as far as injuries or maybe some off-court situations. But they're very capable, if they're hitting the basket, to putting a game together that can take somebody out.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. They were in at Southridge last week on Tuesday, and they were, I mean, a Coach Miller team, very well coached. They were very well put together. And as a young group, they didn't back down the situation. I've seen a lot of teams go into Southridge this year and kind of mess around with the ball or, you know, play some gimmick defense. But they went right at Southridge, and you could see just the potential that they had as well as listening to Coach, which I think they're doing, and they played pretty decent basketball for about a half before they got worn down. But, again, I'm not going to discount anything that Gene Miller does.
Yeah, and if you're not listening to a guy like Coach Gene Miller, then you shouldn't be playing basketball because you obviously don't have any head on your shoulder. I don't care what mom and dad are saying at home. I don't care who your brother and sister are. If you're not listening to Coach Miller, you don't get it, and you don't need to be playing. We look at the other side of the bracket. I got to tell you something, Kurt. You know, I joked, you know, I do believe that Jasper, I'm picking Jasper to win this sectional, and I'm on record picking them before this draw. But I got to tell you something. Not in my wildest dreams have I ever seen a draw come out so favorable. And you could say, well, anything can happen. I know it can. Absolutely. Believe me, I know it can. But if you're going to pick a draw other than playing the winner of Pike Central Mitchell, I cannot believe the ping pong balls came out the way they did. Jasper is on the other side with two of the teams that probably people don't give much credibility to as far as the ability to win the game, win the tournament, or even win a game in this side of the bracket. Jasper's got to feel pretty good about its ability if they're ready to play ball, Chip, on Saturday night.
Yeah, I joked with some of those guys and John at the sectional meeting. I said, not since the Knicks had someone in the bended envelope got such a favorable draw out of a basket. But as we all remember, the Patrick Ewing draw, the cold envelope or the bended envelope, where they were able to go in there and specifically draw the one that went out. But you know, I look at it as a positive. You know, maybe you want that buyer as a coach, but if you're going into a game in which you're favored to win, why wouldn't you want to get out there on a Tuesday night and get some of those jitters out and get on that sectional floor? And then if you get beat by those teams anyway, you want to go win the championship to begin with.
So I would think it'd be great to get out there and kind of get settled in the sectional with the freshman point guard and this, that, and the other. So, you know, I mean, and the coaches aren't going to say that they love the draw or they hate the draw. And I would expect them to play it along a straight line. But, especially after, you know, some years, it seems like even if it's just 1 year, you think you get a bad draw every year. And, you know, I think privately you got to go, wow, thank God we finally got one that we like.
Oh, and you know, Mitchell's kind of that outsider. And for people listening in the Mitchell area, you're kind of thrust into a sectional that really you don't have much commonality with anyone. You don't have a lot of connection. The Vincennes, Jasper, Heritage Hills, Southridge, even Pike Central, there's some commonality with Washington. And it's been that way for decades. Mitchell's just kind of on the outside looking in, and their basketball team has played that way for several years. And Pike Central, a team that has improved from last year to this year, if you're a Pike Central fan, it's a fact, they have. They've improved from last year to this year. They've been competitive at times, but they've also struggled with some of the opponents, specifically Jasper, who they will be playing. So you got to give the edge to Jasper, and yes, you're 100% right. These are games we should win. These are games we can win. Let's get out there, get our feet wet, get moving, get comfortable. But you got the black and blue side of the bracket, and then you've got the rose-covered garden steps to the side of the bracket for Jasper.
Yeah, I think so. The Tuesday Jasper-Mitchell game, they'll play that. Then the big night is that Wednesday deal because, you know, there's not too many Wednesday sectionals. I think a lot of people are going to come over and watch that. If you're just a fan of basketball, you got that first game, Lincoln and Heritage Hills. They played a couple of Saturdays ago on the girls' sectional Saturday. Lincoln pulled away. They had 16 of 16 free throws in that game. They held Heritage Hills without a three-point basket made, in which that's a big key for Heritage Hills with their shooters in Devin and Schaefer and a few of those other guys. And with Heritage Hills, they've struggled with Lincoln. I don't know what it is. You know, I don't know if it's the little bit more physical type of ball game that Lincoln plays, and they've always had good players there, and they do this year with Mickens and Sprinkle. But I don't know about their guard play. I've not seen them knock down a lot of shots, which is always seems like they do, as you can well attest, that they do in the tournament. Somebody will come up and knock down shots. But, I don't know how that game's going to go, and I'm not trying to ride the fence or be noncommittal. I just don't know how that's going to go. And I saw the first game between them, and I couldn't really take anything from that because of the circumstances, them knocking down all those free throws, and then Heritage Hills, who sometimes shoots very well from the outside, did knock down a perimeter shot in that game. So, again, I'm not being noncommittal. I just don't know.
I think you make a great point in that the thing that you have to be ready for, especially with Vincennes Lincoln, at least the last few years, they're going to play physical. You better be prepared mentally for it. And I think the other key that you hit, and people can say, well, that's true for Lincoln. No, it's not. It's not necessarily true. You got to be able to handle the physical play of your opponent, and Vincennes, we know, plays that way. And Heritage Hills has to hit shots because they gain a lot of confidence in their game when they hit shots. It just seems to
everybody does.
Yeah, but they just they're not gonna match you physically. At least in what I've seen with Heritage Hills, they've got to be ready mentally to handle the physical play they're going to get from Lincoln. And then Southridge, of course, Washington will play them hard, but Southridge is playing well right now. Your thoughts on the Raiders, Kurt?
Well, I think they're just they've kept it going for 10 straight games. And the thing about that is, and sometimes that's fool's gold depending on who you play, but I think they played a lot of good teams in that stretch and won games in a lot of different ways. And the thing that's really been good is their defense. I mean, they hold these teams down with that matchup zone. They've also switched into some man, but they've got guys that are not only tall, but they're long. We talked about this last week. They get the passing lane. They jump to the ball. They'll jump a trap, run and jump a trap every now and then. And it's hard to skip a pass against them in that zone. And then you get to sometimes these teams will come down the floor and they don't know whether to run their man stuff or their zone stuff. And it's the defense has been really, really good. Plus, a lot of their guys have really made strides offensively too in the last 10 games, where they're shooting the ball well, they're getting the ball in the right places, and they're not turning it over, which is always big in a sectional game.
Yeah, and you talk about matchups, and I can tell you from a coaching standpoint, when you get into tournament play, even though you would think they matter as much during the season, they don't come into play as much in the season. They do, but your focus is so much greater come tournament time that the matchups really do matter, and coaches were really key on that. I was talking with a former Forest Park player the other – in fact, just yesterday, T.J. Montgomery, you might remember from pretty good Forest Park team from 93 or so, and we talked about the Jasper – Forest Park game in which Forest Park came out on top, and the one thing we both said at the same time was we knew it was going to be a difficult matchup. We knew that we'd have trouble matching up with them in individual spots, and they knew we'd have trouble matching up with them in individual spots. So coaches will really start to key on that and try to play them up and also try to play away from them wherever they can. Kurt, you were at the pre-sectional meeting. Brett Bardwell puts on an outstanding tournament at Southridge, regardless of what class it is, regardless of what level it is. What did Mr. Bardwell, anything you can tell our listeners that will be going to that sectional, anything that came out in the meeting that might be helpful to them?
No, they're just looking forward to having that group of teams in there. And the way it's set up, I know Jasper Mitchell, they hope to get some, because it's a standalone game, they're hoping that fans come out for that one. It's on a Tuesday, and that probably keeps, some of the casual fans, depending on where their team are playing that night, but they're hoping that that's a decent night for a standalone game, but they're really looking forward, again, to that Wednesday doubleheader and then the Friday doubleheader. But they're really happy with the way, the four teams and plus the other three have followed their teams, and it could be a big crowd participation, sectional, which I think they're looking forward to. And they were just, he just like laments the fact that, their thing is they like to put on a good tournament, and it's not Southridge sectional, it's everybody's sectional in there. And they try to take care of all the teams, and they do it in a first-class manner, not that any other sectional site doesn't, but, I think that gym loans itself to having a good environment and, the way it's set up, and the fans are, cordoned off in the sections, which is really cool because that gym lends itself to that. It's just, I think people really enjoy that sectional like they enjoy the Washington sectional or, I guess, anyone that you're in, but it's just, I don't have to tell you this or a lot of our listeners this, but it's a great place for the tournament.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I've been to Washington. I've been to Princeton, been to Boonville, been to Southridge, a couple others. There's nothing like Southridge, especially with this kind of grouping. No matter what, there's going to be great crowds. No matter what, whoever wins or loses the next day, there's going to be people at the workplaces because they all work in the same spots talking a little smack. And if you can't get to the game, then obviously you can hear Kurt make the calls on WBDC. Kurt, before we end this Friday's edition of pre-sectional Coach K and Joe Show, we got about 8 minutes left. You're on here. We may not have intimate knowledge of every team, but let's talk about a couple of other sectionals of note. We've got the Boonville sectional in 2A, sectional 48. Modern Day, who has, I don't know, one week they look great, and the next week you wonder where they're at. They beat a pretty good Central team the other night. Forest Park, North Posey, Perry Central's got a good squad. South Spencer's got a good squad in Tell City. What do you think about that grouping of six?
Well, I think it's very good, and Perry Central got a nice draw. Forest Park will play the winner of Modern Day and South Spencer, so they like their situation because they're familiar with those two teams. Jeff Litherland and Forest Park, speaking with them, it's like, oh, finally we got a bye. Maybe they got one 2 years ago, they just forgot. But, they like what they're doing right now as they close down the regular season. But Modern Day, if you touched on them, if they're shooting the ball well, they may be the favorite in that section with Stauber and some of the things that Kurt Wildeman does. They're pretty good. But South Spencer, they're good offensively until they ran into a team like Southridge, and that was a matchup that was tough on South Spencer. But, you know, Forest Park's playing, you know, better basketball. They're already into the Friday, you know, semifinals, and they're familiar with either South Spencer or Modern Day. Matt Carter's Perry Central Commodore's got a real nice draw. They'll play the winner of North Posey and Tell City, team that they've handled both those so far this year. So they've got a lot of offense, a lot of quickness, a lot of, you know, pressing on the full court that they like to do. So, you like to think it's going to be a, you know, a dogfight between that South Spencer Modern Day and then the winner playing Forest Park, with Perry perhaps getting into the final.
Well, if Modern Day South Spencer was anything like their earlier game in the season, it should be. And South Spencer did stub their toe a little bit towards the middle part of the season, but it looked like they corrected things. So that does look to be a really good sectional. Another sectional, and 2A, I think 2A has a bunch of really good basketball teams and sectional lineups that are fun if you're a fan to go out and see competitively. Another sectional is the Sectional 46 at Paoli. It's a six-teamer. You've got Paoli, Clarksville, Crawford County ranked. You've got Paoli, who's been good most of the year, Providence, Henryville, and Eastern of Pekin. This is a good sectional on paper as well.
Oh, that's loaded. I've not seen Clarksville, but they say they are very good. I've seen Paoli. They've been up and down. Mike Brown's Crawford County Wolfpack team's pretty good. Providence, they play a style that's kind of unique, and they're always hanging around with Coach Lafay. So, if they're telling me Clarksville is really, really good, I'd have to, you know, have them be the favorite in that sectional. But, again, I have not seen a lot of those teams other than Paoli and Crawford. I like Clarksville the way they've been playing, I guess.
Yeah, Clarksville's ranked number 2 in the Class 2A poll. Crawford County is number 8 at 16-3. Of course, Mike Brown has a lot of tradition in the tournament as well in his coaching time. Another sectional before we end this segment, I want to bring into play. Again, we may not have a lot of intimate knowledge, but this looks like a great sectional on paper. It is sectional 32, I think it is. Let me just check real quick. Yeah, no, sectional 30 at North Harrison, Kurt. It's an 8-teamer. Brownstown Central always has very good basketball. Corydon Central, ranked. Madison, outstanding team this year. North Harrison, Charlestown, Salem, Scottsburg, Silver Creek. I mean, you talk about an old traditional type sectional with communities close, school corporations close by. This, again, looks like a really good sectional on paper.
Yeah, I mean, Madison stands out because I think they gave Greensburg their lone loss. I think that's their own loss,
It's correct.
Okay, and so Corden's been good. They've got the junior, the tall kid, that's pretty good. It's drawn a lot of attention. But, yeah, I'm not really familiar with a lot of those teams. You know, I look at scores and see them when they play one of our teams or a team that's playing one of our teams, if that makes sense. But that'll be a great sectional. And, I don't know with an 8-team event and how that draw came out. That's just going to be, you know, 4 nights of just outstanding stuff.
Yeah, Corydon 17-2. They're ranked number 4 in 3A. Brownstown 15-3.
Yeah, I saw them. They're really good.
They're ranked. Madison 10th at 13-4. Silver Creek has votes. I mean, it's just a really good sectional. So, folks, as we end go into the last 2 minutes of this show, I'm telling you, the state tournament, at least from Indianapolis down, sectionals from 1A to 2A to 3A to 4A, there's a lot of great basketball games to be played in the tournament because some of these classes are connected in a way that they almost look like the old-time traditional sectionals, and I think the crowd and the atmosphere is just going to be. Any parting words for us, Kurt?
Well, there's a lot of there's a lot of misconceptions that sectionals are now watered down, because of class. But the sectionals we talked about, that couldn't be any further from the truth. And some cases, a heck of a lot tougher. Maybe back in the day he didn't take advantage of it as much, but there's some tough sectionals, and we didn't touch on the Class A sectional with Tecumseh. They've ruled that for a long time. Northeast Sioux Boys has been in that sectional the last couple of years, and if everything plays the chalk, it'll be Dubois and Tecumseh in that one, in that Class A sectional too. But, you know, these sectionals, a lot of them aren't gimmies, and they're certainly not watered down.
Yeah, and I apologize for not mentioning the Dubois. I mean, that's a solid sectional as well, and we wish the Dubois Jeeps a lot of luck. But, Kurt, great stuff as always. We're going to have to end this show on Friday. Joe, take us home.
Well, as always, you know, I invite you to go out to a high school basketball game. There are a few left on Friday to go to, but also, you know, starting next Tuesday, there's going to be plenty of sectional action for you to go to and take your kids and your wife and your whole family out. And, you know, for the amount of money it costs, you can't find better entertainment. So for Coach K, I'm Joe saying we'll see you next week on the Coach K and Joe Show.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Ubelar & Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. See you next week.